Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Steve Forbes, president of Forbes, CEO of Forbes, editor-in-chief of the magazine, Forbes magazine, also the co-author of How Capitalism Will Save Us, plus many other books that Steve has written over the years, and I encourage you to check all those out. Steve, as we went to the break, you were finishing up your answer to my question about whether the stock market is as a leading indicator, if it actually is that right now with regard to the future economy, or if as I'm a little concerned, it may be a little bit irrationally exuberant, and you were telling us a little bit about that.
This got so low a year ago when people really thought the financial system was going to be unnecessarily destroyed. You know, the losses that banks took, most of those losses were book losses, not actual cash losses.
Right.
And when mark-to-market was finally amended in March of last year, that's when the market turned.
A year late,
so we're getting the bounce back from that. We're getting the bounce back from 2008, 2009. But if you look at real terms, we've been treading water for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the market's done well, but we had periods, you remember, we're old enough to remember the 70s, where you'd get some fantastic rallies in the market.
Right.
But they weren't sustainable, unlike the 1980s and 90s.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We'll enjoy it. But again, we got to watch the taxes, watch the dollar, watch the binge spending, and start peeling away on this crazy health care bill.
Well, speaking of health care, I'm glad you brought that up because that's my next topic. What do you think the recent bill that was passed and the president signed, what do you think that will mean for America's small businesses?
It's a crusher. Because, as you know, many businesses don't have big, fat margins. They don't have bureaucracies that can cope with these things. So that's a direct cost. And a lot of businesses are either going to just say, heck, why put in a plan where you're going to pay a lot of money, just pay the fine or whatever and shovel it over to the government. It's going to crimp margins, and monies that could have been spent on things that are very productive are going to be wasted. In terms of financing the so-called reforms that could be done much better, much more productively, much more efficiently, and we could create a lot more health care if we had more free enterprise in health care.
You know, Steve, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me in the last 2 weeks who have more than 50 employees, and they are scared to death what this is going to cost them. Because
and rightly so.
Because of the mandate for over 50 employees.
I love it when Obama and the administration says, the president says, well, this ends the uncertainty on health care. No, it just begins the uncertainty.
Well, see, this is another part of the uncertainty. This is all part of what I wrote an article a couple of months ago titled Uncertainty is the Enemy of Job Creation. And not knowing how the health care bill is going to affect them is creating more uncertainty. But, you know, Steve, reasonable people can disagree whether this reform bill is going to be good or bad for one group or another. But isn't the real issue right now how this bill creates another entitlement system that will cost too much and ultimately increase the dangers of bankrupting America, and therefore, with all this extra burden, financial burden on the country, hurt entrepreneurship in America? Isn't that a real long-term danger?
That's the critical thing, is entrepreneurship. That's how you get growth. That's how you get innovation. That's how you get a higher standard of living, not just doing more of the same. And that is where small businesses, venture capital, they're going to be. We're going to create an environment, Jim, like we saw in Western Europe, where they become laggard. Western Europe's not at the forefront of high technology, biotechnology. Asia is. The U.S. until recently has been. But Europe hasn't, because they have a socialized system. They have high taxes. You hear a lot of talk in Washington about putting on yet another new tax, a value-added tax, sort of a supranational sales tax.
Yeah.
And that just creates a stagnation. So, yes, the spark for an economy is not government spending. If it was, Jim, the Soviet Union would have won the Cold War.
Exactly right.
It is entrepreneurs, people taking the risk, starting the businesses. And this kind of hostile environment is going to make it difficult. The entrepreneurial spirit, as you know, is still out there. And if we just get some changes in the next couple of years, we'll be flourishing again and far more rapidly than the people think. But otherwise, it's not just what this crazy health care bill does. Yeah. We all know it lies ahead with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Social Security is already, as of this year, Social Security is ahead of schedule in paying out more than it takes in.
Well, and that was supposed to happen for another 8 or 10 years.
Yeah, but it's happening this year. And so that's what I was talking about a minute ago. You mentioned the VAT tax. I talked to the audience, just me and them, in the previous hour about my belief that in the next 3 to 7 years, there will be a serious proposal to add, to overlay a value-added tax on top of all that we're currently doing without repealing the 16th Amendment and doing away with with income tax, which I would take one or the other, but not both. If we get both of those,
exactly.
Steve, you and I might as well just board up our windows.
It's going to be a crusher. And the countries that have done it are the ones that are lagging. You know, Japan put in a national sales tax back in the 1990s. We see how much good it did them.
They've lost 2 decades.
And in Europe, they've had it since the 1970s and keep ratcheting it up. And that's why most of that continent is not doing very well.
Well, speaking of which, and actually, I'm going to have to go to a break in a second. One of the things, Steve, has been interesting has been the congressional leadership's reaction to corporations who are taking charges for what they think is going to cost them to comply with the health care bill. They're being called on the carpet.
How dare they reveal what it's going to cost?
What about the Sarbanes-Oxley? What about the Sarbanes-Oxley irony? Do you see that? I mean, part of it is Sarbanes-Oxley, which the Congress wanted. Now they're complying with it, and they're calling them on the carpet. That's some rich irony as far as I'm concerned. Going to take a quick break. We got more to come after these messages with Steve Forbes. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. Our visitor, our guest this hour is our good friend Steve Forbes, the editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, CEO of Forbes, the co-author of How Capitalism Will Save Us. Steve, the website is Forbes.com, right?
Yes, it is.
And I want to thank you for the partnership that you and I have that makes your audience available access to all the things that we do. And that's a great partnership.
We like the gold standard, so that's why we're working with you.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. And we feel the same way. So thank you for that. Steve, and by the way, your book is available wherever books are sold, right?
That's right, and also on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Right, and it's Steve along with Elizabeth Ames. Steve, we'll talk just one quick thing on the health care. There are a number of ways various groups will target the health care bill to either neutralize it or abolish it, like constitutional challenges by states, defunding by future Republican majorities if we have that, outright repeal by future administrations. Which option do you think is going to be the most likely to happen, if any, and what are the chances?
Well, I think the chances are good, and the key thing is for Republicans to have a popularized proposals such as nationwide shopping for insurance, equalized tax treatment, tort reform, and the like. So if they win a majority in November, they can come in, let the president veto it, but people can then see there's a more positive ways of dealing with this problem than what the president has done. And then I think that makes repeal much easier if people know there's something exciting out there that can be done and put in its place.
Well, I like to point out, Steve, that over the last 10 years, because I've been covering health care reform since 1998. I didn't just come to this issue this last year or two, and primarily with our mutual friend Grace Marie Turner. And and so the thing that I like to point out to people is that there have been many reform proposals that have been put forward, like association health plans, Mike Enzi's bill, being able to buy across state lines. There have been a lot of others. The health savings account was actually passed. That's a great, let me tell you something, Steve. Health savings accounts are the enemy of universal coverage. of universal
sure
health care.
And when the break, we're talking about the governor of Indiana, Mitch Daniels.
Right.
Put in health savings accounts for state workers in Indiana. The unions fiercely opposed it. Only 4% signed up at the beginning. Today, Jim, and just a few years later, 70% of them signed up. They love it.
And it's what you have in your company. It's what I have in my company.
Exactly.
Yeah. The health savings accounts are good, but these are reforms, folks, that you can do that are market-based reforms that will control costs that don't require the government taking over a sixth of our economy.
Well, Jim, we might have a phrase for that, change you can believe in.
Oh, Steve, that's funny. Hey, Steve, I want to move over and talk about something else. At one point in time, you said we shouldn't be concerned about the national debt. You said that when you compare the national debt to our national wealth, that it's really very much in line. And you said that, I think you said we had $5 trillion in debt and like $55 trillion in national wealth. With the national debt now really on par with our gross domestic product at around $13 trillion, do you still feel the same way?
Well, it's like saying having a glass of wine at dinner is fine, but that's quite different than drinking a case of wine. And what we've seen in the last 3 years is just unprecedented in peacetime, this kind of just out-of-control binge spending for the sake of spending. And they're spending so fast they can't shovel the money out fast enough. You know, there's still $300 billion in TARP. There's still about $400 or $500 billion of stimulus money they haven't shoveled out yet.
Yep.
So there are plenty of ways to slow this train down, and people know it is wrong. And so if you just have a little bit of spending restraint combined with positive reforms, as we've talked about on health care, on Social Security for younger people, having their own personal accounts with proper rules and diversification and the like, this crisis can be dealt with.
But what kind of – I mean, we're going to have some serious leadership change, and I mean in both parties, Steve.
Yep.
If we're going to turn this around and get our attitude right about debt and spending, it's going to take both changes in both parties, isn't it?
That's right. And, let's take the example of Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Worth in our last survey about $58 billion, wealthiest man in the world. If he went out and borrowed $100 billion, he's going to have a problem.
Right. We've got to turn this around. Steve.
Same thing. It's got a problem.
I know you'll continue to come back with us. We thank you for the time you give us, as always, and we hope you come back again real soon.
Look forward to it, Jim, and keep the faith.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen. Truly a great American and your friend, whether you know it or not. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.